The caucus is nearly upon us. Finally, the voting begins. And wouldn't you know it, joining us now is a U.S. Senator from the state of Iowa, Republican Joni Ernst, back on the program. Senator, it is great to have you here.
Oh, always great to be with you, Guy. Thank you.
I would like for you to put into context for our audience these strikes that the United States and the United Kingdom and that coalition are now undertaking against the Houthi terrorists in Yemen. Why are there military actions underway against this group? Who are they? What do you make of this?
Well, the Houthis are a group that are backed by Iran. Large in part, they are in the country of Yemen, and they truly are a terrorist organization. Under the Trump administration, they had been listed as a foreign terrorist organization. However, when President Biden came into office, he removed that designator. The Houthis have conducted 27 attacks against international commerce ships and U.S. service members. And that's just here recently. So this counterattack by the United States and our partners, this is not just spearheaded by the United States, but it's U.S., it's Britain, it's Bahrain, it's many different countries. This counterattack was long, long overdue. We should have done this months ago. This delay has severely eroded our credibility in the region. Now, I just returned from visiting the Fifth Fleet and NAVCENT in Bahrain. We were there last weekend with a congressional delegation. We were able to meet with Admiral Cooper, who is the head of NAVCENT, and he said, we need to go. We need to move on these Houthis. We are ready. The strikes were just continuing against our service members and these commercial carrier ships with no retribution. So finally, we have pulled the trigger on it and had many, many international partners assisting us because we all believe these are long overdue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a long time coming, as you said, one provocation after another. They're not just interrupting global shipping lanes, which is a huge, huge disruption, extremely costly to the international economy. I mean, it's intolerable. They're also violent. They're also targeting Americans. They've attacked us. So this is a response. It is totally appropriate. It should have happened a while ago. I hope it is overwhelming. It's a terrorist organization backed by Iran. And there's a few other points to make here, Senator. And I think it's important. You mentioned how the Houthis were correctly designated as a terrorist organization under Trump. And then Biden came in and delisted them as a terrorist group. And of course, they were doing that, Team Biden, to try to appease the Iranians, as usual, to come back to the table on their precious nuclear agreement, which is awful anyway. And of course, it achieved nothing on the nuclear front with Iran. Iran is worse than ever. And the Houthis have been attacking Americans. What a mistake. What a huge miscalculation to delist the Houthis as a terrorist group. I feel like that mistake looks worse than ever now because they're forced to attack the Houthis, counterattack this group that they, you know, try to claim wasn't a terrorist organization. It's just awful foreign policy yet again from Team Biden.
Absolutely. And if we look at who is backing the Houthis, as you pointed out, it is Iran. Who else does Iran back? They back Hezbollah in Lebanon, and they back Hamas, the organization that was behind those horrible terrorist attacks against Israel on October 7th. So Iran is such an incredibly bad actor. It's one of what we call the Big Four. We have Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. They are one of our top adversaries, and yet President Biden has done absolutely everything he can to appease them. We should not be appeasing them. We should be standing firm. There is no reason to continue to allow these terrorist organizations backed by Iran to strike our American service members in the Middle East, as well as taking out these attacks against commercial carriers. These are innocent civilians that are on commercial vessels that have been attacked by Houthis. It's got to stop. And the only way it will stop is if we stand strong with our international partners and go after the Houthis.
Senator Ernst in Times Square in New York City last night. There was a big rally on behalf of the Houthi terrorists from the Hamas fans. No surprise there. Here's part of what they were chanting in Cut 32. All right, so it's kind of hard to hear, but they're saying it's right to rebel. U.S., U.K., go to hell. They are protesting the airstrikes against a terrorist group that is actively attacking Americans and these ships. And I guess in their addled brains, they view the Houthis as heroes because, first of all, they're terrorists and they hate America and they hate Jews and they hate Israel. And they say so openly and proudly, so the Hamas crowd is going to naturally gravitate toward them because they're sort of kindred spirits. But they also feel like, oh, they're blocking access of international commerce to Israel, so that's a win for human rights. And I've seen actual leftists and other crazy anti-Semites on social media saying that the Houthis are the exemplars of human rights. We just have to point out, and it's not even funny, but you have to laugh at these people, I guess, because it's scary in some sense. The Houthis have reinstituted slavery. They conscript children into their terrorist army. It is the exact opposite of human rights, and yet we have people in the West, Senator, rooting for the Houthis against the United States and the United Kingdom and the international coalition. And look, they have a right to say these things in the United States, but I think it is very, very telling when the pro-Hamas protest becomes more broadly just a pro-terrorism protest.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is. And you're right, they do have addled brains. Where are those that are out there teaching these individuals love of America and understanding that we live in the greatest nation on the face of the planet, the freedoms that we are able to express and experience here in our great country cannot be found in other countries around the world, not when they are ruled by terrorist organizations like Hamas, like the Houthis, like Hezbollah. They are terrorist organizations. And you're right. You know, they prey on the vulnerable, including children. Hamas, they preyed on peace-loving Israelis that lived on the border. One of the gentlemen that had been kidnapped and is still being held by Hamas was a peace activist. He used to drive Palestinians to doctor's appointments in Israel. But Hamas came, killed his family, took him away.
Yeah, that's the big thank you that he got. That's the thank you he got from Hamas for his advocacy on behalf of the Palestinians. They killed his family and took him hostage. While you were in the Middle East, Senator, did you get to stop in Israel? Did you get any updates on the status of these hostages?
I did, and that was the entire point of my CODEL. I led a bicameral, bipartisan delegation back to Israel 3 months after the terrorist attacks. And 3 months after I was able to go into Israel after those attacks, I had visited there with a delegation on October 10th, and we visited again last week. We spoke with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, other leaders within Israel, as well as the director of Mossad, David Barnea, who is working very, very hard to get these hostages back. We met with other world leaders in Egypt, in Qatar, in Bahrain also. So we were able to communicate to them how important it was to get hostages back. And what I would share with everyone, Guy, is that we have 6 American hostages being held by Hamas. We had over 30 Americans killed by Hamas. So this is not just, oh, travel to the Middle East. This had a purpose, and it was to talk about the return of American hostages. So I feel that the message was heard loud and clear. We need them home now.
Was it heard loud and clear by the government of Qatar? Because quite frankly, they have been disgraceful in a lot of ways. Their public statements blaming Israel for this. Of course, they harbor top leaders of Hamas in their country. I know sometimes they're a useful go-between on negotiations, but at the very best, they talk out of both sides of their mouths and, again, have covered themselves in disgrace a few times over the course of this ordeal. What was your posture towards Qatar?
Yes, this was probably the most intense meeting that we had during the trip. We went in and we had the same message. I started off the conversation directed at the prime minister, expressing, you know, our dismay that they are hosting Hamas there.
Yep.
We talked through the situation. So what we want them to do, of course, is to expel Hamas. The tricky part is that if they do expel Hamas, likely the breakdown of negotiations would happen. So we're at a really tenuous point where we need to make sure we're destroying Hamas, but we need to know where the hostages are. We've got to be able to find them. We've got to be able to get them back. So it's going to be a very delicate balance in trying to figure out how we get them back before they're expelled out of Qatar and before we can target their heads, because we need to be targeting their heads. Biden needs to know that, and he needs to follow through.
Well, the Israelis certainly will. They're taking people out all over the place, and it could happen in Qatar. And if that happens, so be it, because I get that they are sometimes an intermediary that can be helpful to a certain extent. But the degree to which they were just overtly siding with Hamas against Israel immediately around October 7th, really, really disgusting. So I'm glad that it was, in your word, an intense conversation. That's what they need to hear, I think, in Doha. Senator Joni Ernst, when we come back, let's talk about the Iowa caucuses coming up on Monday. That's next.
New talk for a new generation. The Guy Benson Show.
Guest here on the Guy Benson Show. Senator, let's talk about your home state. A lot of attention focused on Iowa heading into Monday. It is apparently going to be, I've seen these reports, potentially the coldest ever weather for the Iowa caucuses, which is saying something because it's always a cold time of year. It's going to be absolutely freezing in the Hawkeye State. How might that impact the caucuses, aside from the obvious, some people who might be marginally attached to various candidates and somewhat motivated might open their door and say, you know what, forget it. So turnout might be down if it really is that cold. Does it potentially affect the outcome, the winner, the margin? What do you think?
Well, I think it does affect the turnout if you have those that don't want to get out after dark in this brutally cold weather today. It's a balmy 12 degrees here in Red Oak, Iowa. You know, I've probably got a foot of snow outside. But it will impact those that maybe don't have a deep interest in attending the caucuses. But I'm going to tell you, though, Guy, there are a lot of people that are heavily invested in the caucuses. It comes around every 4 years. They want to go out and support these really incredible candidates that we have seen all across the state here. So I anticipate that probably Donald Trump will be the winner, that we see all indications of that. But let me tell you, Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley have really been working hard here in the state. So they do have big pockets of supporters all across the state. It is going to be a fabulous night. I will be at my own caucus here in Red Oak in Montgomery County, Iowa. I'll go out and cast my private ballot as well. But you're going to have to dress in your coveralls and some warm boots and get out. But for those of us that go out, man, we will have bragging rights for going out and supporting our candidates on the coldest ever Iowa caucus.
So I went to the caucuses in 2012, and I was there. I believe it was Mitt Romney who ended up either winning or coming in a very close second. It was neck and neck. And I was at one of the big locations in Des Moines, and people gather into groups, at least when I was there in this auditorium. They would gather into groups based on who they supported. You're going to be out there caucusing. You're going to be voting. You said it's a private ballot. Will you be gravitating over to one particular camp? Have you decided who you're supporting?
Well, I have decided who I'm supporting. I won't be announcing that, but because I want all candidates to be in Iowa, and I want Iowans to make up their own minds. But the way Republicans do it, it is by secret ballot. The Democrats do gather in groups supporting their particular candidate. That's how they do it. But what we typically do, and what I'll see here in Red Oak, just like the caucuses I've attended in the past, you'll have a person that will come speak on behalf of their candidate Right. And then we get to the voting part where they pass out the ballots, and it's one ballot per person. You have to be registered in your precinct to vote that ballot, and you must be present, which is why the caucus is so different than a primary election or a general election. And that's why weather can affect the turnout.
Yeah, you have to physically be there, and they have these precinct captains, and people get up and give these speeches, and people gather around kind of their preferred campaign. They don't have to, and then the balloting begins. So it's a fascinating way that this all goes down. Last question, it's related moving forward in this process. Let's say President Trump, the former president, does become the nominee. He's the front runner for sure right now. There's a lot of chat out there and chatter that he might want to pick a woman as his running mate. I have seen your name come up from time to time on a short list. Is that something you would be open to if it comes to it?
Well, absolutely. I am open to anything. Absolutely. I think it's an honor just to be considered and talked about. Of course, I still have about 3 years left in my Senate term. Whatever comes about will come about, Guy. I'm not looking to that. I think there's a lot of really wonderful, wonderful people that can fulfill that role. I have spoken about it openly, though. I do hope that whoever President Trump picks as his running mate will have strong foreign policy, national security background, someone that can maybe advise the president as well on these issues. President Trump is fabulous on economy and so many other issues. But I would like to see someone with that national security foreign policy experience considered.
Okay. Good to know. And we'll keep an eye on what happens in your state on Monday and then beyond, of course, a very long road ahead to November. U.S. Senator Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa, on The Guy Benson Show. Senator, thank you. Have a great weekend. Stay warm.
You bet, Guy. Thank you.
And we'll be right back.